Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Very nice. We're all here together. Are we ready to say it, Deborah Mark?
It's a super duper holiday weekend.
You forgot the word getaway.
Oh, it's a super duper holiday weekend getaway.
Well, pretty good. I used to just say a super, but you put super duper in there. Johnny, annoyed yet? Do we have to keep saying it?
Did you guys rehearse this before?
You know what? I was going to text her, and I thought not. I thought she would get the cue, and she did.
Yeah.
She's on top of things today.
She is. Really
She
sharp.
Knows when we're on a super duper holiday getaway weekend right here on Friday. And she's now going to go through the travel numbers, right?
Oh, LAX is so busy. You better, if you're not on your way there, you're going to be in big trouble.
People are taking planes today, huh?
Oh, yeah. Wow. And people are driving.
That's unprecedented.
I heard somebody this morning, it was a little early, 6:30, say there's nobody here. But I guess the rush came later. I don't know. That the security lines were short.
Well,
it's
yeah.
Like they sent everybody there, and there's not a big crowd.
6:30 in the morning.
Well,
sure.
AAA is expecting a record amount of people driving this long holiday weekend, even though gas prices are so high.
She's right.
Did that off the top of your head?
I
huh?
did.
I'm
very special that way.
Because you've probably read that about 55,000 times in your life.
Yeah.
Same old thing every time.
The thing that people were wondering was whether or not people would drive less because of the horrific gas prices. What did you read there at the end of the newscast? $6 and how much a gallon?
$6.07.
I think it's the only they've been cooped up for 2.5 years. So
I know
this is the one thing they're going to blow money on.
Well, AAA expects 39 million people.
AAA, shut up.
In total, will travel. And the story says that people are conscious of these horrific gas prices, they're going to drive shorter distances. It's kind of their plan.
Wow. What an analysis.
There you go.
Who would have thought that?
Consumer sentiment has hit the lowest level since 2011. Although there was a slight reduction in one of the inflation indicators for the last month, but it's still going to be a horrific
year. But it's still a big number.
It is. It is. It's just they like to say it's tapering, maybe.
And those numbers,
in other words, it's not going to keep going up.
And those numbers are not all that accurate anyway.
Well, if you believe the numbers from before, you have to believe.
No,
the numbers
but
now.
When they if something goes down 0.1%, that's you can't make a headline out of it.
I don't think it was 0.1%, but
it's just it's if it's a bad number, it's a bad number. It's like when they do crime statistics. Oh, it was down 3% from last year. So what?
Yeah.
It's a terribly bad number either way.
Yeah.
You know, there's randomness. for
there's
me.
There's randomness. Well, you're already in a foul mood.
Well, because you started it with the stupid holiday getaway weekend.
He was getting us in the mood for these super duper long holiday getaway weekends.
Telling me what AAA is saying.
We have to have reporters at the airport and the gas pumps.
Okay, all right. You made your point.
All right, then I'm done. Good night. Your show. Take over.
Yowza. This is not going to be a fun day.
I know. It's just always a curmudgeon.
You're a little prickly today, John.
I'm feeling prickly, yes. My prickles are poking out.
As we talked about in depth yesterday, we'll get a report from Texas coming up at the bottom of the hour. They held another news conference today to say mistakes were made.
Boy,
this would be
the
response to the shooting in Texas at the elementary school.
Did you see or hear that?
I did.
The reporters were wild with anger. Man, whatever you think
about reporters, this was horrific.
When they think somebody is lying to them, it's like a pack of jackals ripping flesh out of these officials. Well, this is horrific. What the cops did was just awful.
What we learned since yesterday we talked about this, because we couldn't understand this, why they just stood there and allowed the shooter to stay in this barricaded classroom without busting in there and killing him quicker, is because, and this is a little weird, they thought that might be a better situation until they got the tactical team there to do it by the book. In other words, they thought, and I think one quote I heard is they thought, well, he killed everybody he's going to kill because the gunfire was more sporadic, and we've got him locked in this classroom so he can't run around the rest of the school and shoot more people. There was one report that said they kind of let him in there or chased him in there or something. I don't know if that's true, but they thought this was a controlled situation. Now we should wait. And yes, John, they did eventually use a master key to open the locked door.
I don't know where these boobs came from, but almost everything about their response is so horrifying and so absurd. According to the officials in Texas, every single officer is trained that when there's an active shooter, you go in there immediately and go go to the shooter and you kill him. And it doesn't matter.
It's called neutralize.
It doesn't matter if the commanding officer is there or not. That's what you do. That's your obligation. If you want to be on the police force, know that if you get an active shooter, you got to run right to the guy and blast away until he's dead. So you had here 19 cops and their commanding officer who did the opposite of what they're trained to do, of what they're told, ordered to do. That's indescribable. I mean, just inexplicable.
Yeah, we know there was at least a couple of kids that survived in that classroom by hiding.
Well,
we don't know whether or not they could have, somebody, you know, bled out. They could have saved them in that 45 minutes.
Well, one of the kids was calling 911 and said that there were 8 or 9 of these kids still alive. And it was still another half hour. Yeah, here it is. A girl called at 12:16 and told police there were 8 to 9 students alive. 3 shots were heard during a call made at 12:21. That same girl called back at 12:43 and 12:47. So she was there for a half an hour after she told 911 that there were 8 to 9 students alive, and I guess they all died in that half hour. So that's just unconscionable. I don't know what was going on with this police department.
I heard one cop say last night, we may be able to get the quote out later, but on CNN, he was not involved in the siege, but he said that when the shooter fired at police officers, and I guess he did hit a couple of them, it made the rest of them go, whoa. Not running in there. But the cliche is you put your life on the line. Well, this is your chance to put your life on the line and do something for people and children, especially third and fourth graders.
They had shields, some of them, and they should have swarmed the place. They should have had some guys come crashing through windows, whatever it took. You have to have a sense of urgency. You have to get creative. You have to try to overwhelm them. If you've got 19 guys all shooting at once, it's a limit to how much damage you can do. And that's what people pay you to do. And that's how you're trained. And you have every right to quit your training, quit the job if you're not up for it. But if this kid was right and there are 8 to 9 children still alive and the police are standing outside, what, staring at their shoes? I mean, they were of no use standing outside. The only thing they did is they kept the parents away.
Yeah, there was quite a tussle between some parents and the other bystanders and the police who wanted to get in. Supposedly some parents were cuffed. They were restrained. There was a report of pepper spray being used because they got rowdy. I'm going in there if you're not. We actually have some of that audio. Why don't we just play cut number 3? This is outside Robb Elementary School. There's someone screaming my daughter. This was taken by people's phones. That social media footage is from somebody named Hugo Cervantes, 86.
Yes. So they put all that energy into blocking the parents, cuffing the parents, but they did nothing to go after the guy who just murdered 21 people.
Yeah, whoever made this decision to say this is now a controlled situation, let's wait till we get a large tactical team here before we bust in, is in big trouble.
It was not a controlled situation. And I heard one of the officials said that just because somebody stops shooting doesn't mean he's not an active shooter. He goes, that term
could be
misleading.
He could just take a pause because he wants to see what's going on. You're right. Exactly right.
And you
have to get eyes on and neutralize the shooter to know that he's done shooting. Come on.
And you don't know how many kids are still alive but bleeding out. And you don't know how many kids still can be killed. You can't just let him sit there for an hour until he gets into another bad mood and starts firing at the survivors. I mean, I mean, this is obvious. Do you even need training for something like that?
We'll get a report from Texas and more on this horrific story after 2:30.
John and Ken Show, KFI. Found out yesterday, man called in from Jakarta, Indonesia, listening to us at 7 a.m. the next day.
Hey, so horrified at the U.S., he and his family left the country. I think they went to Australia, but he was in Jakarta. There you go. That's the reach of KFI, thanks to the world's technology now.
We are all over the planet.
No kidding. I think the best news I heard today, it's closing arguments in the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. Thank God. Go away. Close the door. End this. How can anybody have a defamation trial that goes on like months? I didn't even understand that. That's a murder trial.
It seems like everything said was true.
Both sides?
I didn't see the defamation against anybody. They both filed defamation suits against each other. It's like, I don't know. Seems like the descriptions were accurate for the two of them.
But this was her trial against him, right? No, it was his trial against her.
Right, yeah, but she also filed a return suit.
No.
And I don't know where that is, but I'm just saying.
Silly, like, celebrities.
You just, they're complete mental patients. It's pretty shocking they didn't kill each other.
That
seems like a double murder or murder-suicide was meant to happen there.
Yeah, instead it was just pooping and beating and slapping.
Pooping.
Pooping the bed.
Yeah, you know, if your partner poops in your bed, you better back up.
It might be time to go.
Don't get into another argument. Just get out of there.
Now, of course, this shooter story out of Texas, you always get stuff that doesn't pan out, and each side wants to have something to support its own arguments. There was a congressman from Texas, Tony Gonzalez, that was claiming early on today that the shooter, Salvador Ramos, was arrested 4 years ago after telling people he was going to shoot up a school once he turned 18. Well, you know who dug into this, John Cobelt? Fox News correspondent Bill Malugin.
Yes.
And determined, not true. So then this guy backtracks and says something to the effect of, it's not clear now, but we'll see how the facts shake out.
Was it another Salvador Ramos?
Well, no. As it turns out, a 14-year-old Morales Junior High School student and a 13-year-old former Morales student planned to perform a mass casualty event against the school back in 2018. Their names have not been released because they were minors, you see.
That's not a good
one of the other problems with this, because there's some suspicion that the killer had some sort of a juvenile record, but it takes a bit to get that unsealed.
Yeah.
If you're under 18, as we know from George Gascon, nothing counts. Don't worry about it.
You know, for some crimes, I don't think their names should be under seal. I think their names should be publicized, and their crimes ought to be publicized. Like, everybody ought to treat them as dangerous.
Because I think when we had some of these horrific acts back in the 90s, maybe in the 2000s, we decided that we're going to start trying people as adults. Remember that whole shift?
Yeah.
Now we got Gascon going back and saying, no. Yeah, the brain's not formed until someone's 25. You think, and under 18, I don't want to hear it.
Only till November.
We hope. We hope the signature collecting continues to go well, and we do get to vote on that in November.
Yeah.
It says here, those suspects, they were partly motivated by the Columbine massacre. Boy, that thing really left a legacy, didn't it?
That is the beginning of the shoot the schools movement. Yeah. I mean, there were probably shootings before that, but that one, I think, is now like a shrine online that all these wannabe killers, they worship. They worship everything about it. These guys study it. I heard today that this guy, Salvador Ramos, he was online with two different groups of three other people and was explaining what he was going to do over the past few weeks. So there were other people who saw his posts or communicated with him online. And I think he was on Instagram. And so they knew, but nobody reports this stuff. Because there's so many other weirdos who are into this, they don't feel an obligation to tell an adult or call the police or call the school. They just don't. They just show up for the next communication meeting and listen to more of the plan. And it's funny that the really bad people attract other bad people. And none of them are interested in doing the right thing.
We also have this audio. The grandfather, remember him? He surfaced. The grandmother was shot in the face. The grandfather came out and was another one that said, we didn't know he had guns. Or we didn't know he was a violent boy. He's talking about what may have gone really off the rails a Tuesday morning for this shooter. This is from Ali Bradley. Ali Bradley TV.
This yesterday morning when I came in, I mean, you know, she was here. She had told him to take him to get his own line because she had him on her line. And she said, he said, I'm not ready. And then he got up and went to the bathroom. Then I left, you know, and see, later, an hour or two, this happened.
Really?
Yeah.
So there was some kind of argument? Not an argument, just a conversation?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they didn't argue. He never did argue with her. No. She did everything for him.
In other words, she was telling him, you're off our plan. Get your own mobile phone plan. Apparently, according to the grandfather, this 18-year-old was always using the phone. I don't think he had a lot of friends, so I don't know if he was, I don't think he was necessarily texting people, but he might have been just watching videos, looking stuff up, doing his social media craziness. But it doesn't sound like, because they didn't fight, that was a trigger, but then, you know, sometime later, he shoots her in the face and he takes off for the school. All right, when we come back, we'll be checking in on the story, ABC reporter Dennis Foley, this press conference this morning with the Texas Department of Public Safety Director Steve McGraw, where he said mistakes were made. We'll find out more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
Last hour, apparently, the Texas governor, Greg Abbott, had his own little news conference. A little angry, misled about certain information he was given by law enforcement. I'm livid about what happened. I was on this very stage 2 days ago, and I was telling the public information that had been told to me in a room just a few yards behind where we're located right now. I wrote down hand notes in detail about everybody in that room told me in sequential order about what happened. I came out here on stage and told the public what happened. It's a recitation of what people in that room told me, whether it was law enforcement officials or non-law enforcement officials, whatever the case may be. And as everybody learned, the information I was given turned out in part to be inaccurate.
Eric, today, let's get that audio clip later.
Oh, of Abbott?
Yeah.
Oh, I can play. I have a tiny little bite right now if you want to hear it.
I'll play it. Yeah, I just want to hear how he sounded.
Okay.
I am livid about what happened.
That's it.
Thank you for that.
I mean,
they have to keep their news short.
I just got it. We'll have longer ones, but that one just...
Yeah, that was a little long. I think just livid would have gotten it across.
There was a press conference this morning. The Texas Department of Public Safety Director Steve McCraw is the one, and you're hearing the quote all over the place, wrong decisions were made, including the big one about not going in sooner to neutralize the shooter. We have ABC reporter Dennis Foley covering from Texas to give us more on this.
Dennis, what's the latest you have?
Yeah, the governor was livid, called it unacceptable, and he's demanding answers. I was just hearing that news conference before. He's not happy, and I don't think a lot of people are happy after hearing that the reason for the delay, that was a big topic yesterday, you know, why were police, you know, basically waiting an hour to go in? Well, it's because the commander, the incident commander at the scene, who is the police chief of the school police department, so he's the one that's making the decisions, thought that it was a barricade situation or determined it was a barricade situation instead of an active shooter. So they were doing a completely different strategy than what the actual situation called for, which was it's still an active shooter. You need to go in and take out the suspect.
And what information did they have to decide it was not an active shooter?
Well, apparently it was either the lack of gunshots, although most of the shooting we knew yesterday happened in the first maybe 4 or 5 minutes. But then after that, it was sporadic shots. But still, they were hearing gunshots, which still, that's one of those shrug moments. You're still hearing bullets. Why are you not going in there to take out the suspect?
Yeah, and you don't know what kids are alive and dying, and you don't know what kids are alive and are still at risk, because you don't know what his mood's going to be. You don't know when he's going to get up from behind the barricade and look to see if there's anybody he missed. You don't know that stuff. That's why you got to take him out.
Yeah, and what made things even worse, we also found out today that people, including children, were calling 911 from inside the school while this whole waiting period was going on. And that information, Steve McCraw, the DPS director, said that was being relayed to the officers at the scene, and still, they were still treating it as a barricade situation.
One of the kids estimated that 8 to 9 of the students were still alive. And so that was told to the officers and the commander?
Yep. And still, it was a barricade situation. Yeah.
And did Abbott, does he think that, I guess he thinks everybody lied to him 2 days ago.
Yeah. I mean, that's the general sense, is that either that, or if you don't have all the information, don't tell me the wrong information that you have. And he's probably as angry as most people are, because, again, his role as governor, he's trying to give out information as accurately and as promptly as possible. And when he's getting bad information from people, and who knows where the bad information came from? We don't know if maybe DPS, because, you know, again, we have so many agencies involved in this. Maybe someone, maybe it was a local police department, maybe it was someone within DPS, either just got the information wrong, excluded some things by chance, and they're, you know, maybe the DPS thought they had the right information, and as they're talking to more agencies, they're learning and reviewing video. That's the big thing that we learned. They reviewed more video, and that's how they determined that the information they had was wrong.
And they claim that they were still evacuating students, even though they were waiting, I guess, for a tactical team to come there. That was the Border Patrol team?
Yeah. And that's more, that's also typical of a barricade situation, where if you know someone is holed up somewhere, you try to clear out the area around that location so that you can go in and get the barricaded person out or coerce them to come out.
That's fine if they're in there alone, but we knew there were kids in there who might be bleeding to death or not even not shot yet. So it's just a strange course to take.
Do we know how he was barricaded? I mean, he's inside a normal-sized classroom, and all the kids and the teachers are sprawled out on the floor in front of him. And what is he hiding behind?
So he actually locked the classroom door, which is why they couldn't get in. And to, again, add to the awful news, police had to wait for a janitor to unlock the door in order to get in.
And that took a while.
Yep.
But that's impossible to believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they go through all these training sessions and drills. Nobody ever thought, hey, the police ought to have a key in case the bad guy locks everyone out.
Yeah.
And they couldn't blast open the door or storm the door in any way?
Apparently not. And mind you, and I think I mentioned this before, the school district has its own police department. It's not like giving the city police department a key. The school district has its own police department. So why doesn't the school police department have a master key to the building?
Your problems.
Okay. So this is the school police department locked out of their own classroom here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're the ones they're the incident commander as well. The police chief of that department is the one making these decisions.
And he doesn't have a key to the place that.
No.
Wow. This is new territory.
All right, Dennis.
Thank you very much
for that report. That's Dennis Foley, ABC reporter in Texas, who covered the news conference this morning. Stunning. The Texas Department of Public Safety Director Steve McGraw went through the timeline and then said they made a big mistake.
I made a lot of mistakes.
They thought they had the shooter barricaded in the classroom, that basically it was probably over, and they could try to secure the area around it, evacuate all the other kids, and then eventually find the key and go in there with the tactical team to take him out.
It seems like every decision they could make wrongly, they did. I mean, the lack of preparation is stunning. The decision-making process was off.
It's not like school shootings are new.
No.
There's been drills for all this, and like we talked to Sheriff Villanueva yesterday, you got to neutralize the shooter. You got to go get him, find him, take him out.
And some of it's not complicated. You know, go after the shooter. Go
Did
right
they really
to him
think he was alone in this classroom and therefore wasn't a threat because there's nobody in there to kill? Really?
No, that's stupid. I mean, all this stuff is just stupid.
Well, the other alternative is he's already killed everybody in there. So,
well, you can't guess at that, though. You don't know that. Turns out it wasn't true. There were some people shot and still alive, and there were some people who were never shot.
All right, we have the Greg Abbott audio we'll play when we come back. The governor held his own news conference a little while ago where he's pretty upset because he's come out in some news conferences and he says he did not have the truthful information.
No wonder there was so much wrong information over the last 2 days. The police were giving out the wrong information. They were lying and covering up. They must have known how many horrible things they did. You can't lie to the governor, though. Jesus. John and Ken, KFI.
Well, the understanding is it was the commander of the Uvalde School District who made the decision, this is the police, not to go ramming into the classroom where the gunman was barricaded because it had transitioned from an active shooter to a barricaded subject. Kind of the terminology, but learned that there were 911 calls made from inside the room pleading for help. And
but that is probably just the worst analysis possible. It was just wrong. How did he know he was barricaded? And how do you?
This isn't even a case of hindsight. It's 2020.
Well, all right. And
I think at the time, you know, you have to go take him out.
And if at 12:16, one of the kids, one of the living kids, is calling 911 and saying, "Hey, I'm alive. There's 8 or 9 of us still alive."
Did that child live?
I don't know. Wow. But she called a half hour later. And nobody had come. And they claimed that message did get to the commander, did get to the cops standing outside. How is that possible? So he got information that told him his theory was wrong. Tragically wrong. And he doesn't go in there? And then everybody
left. Instead, there was a chaos with parents and others who were trying to get in on their own.
Right.
Because and some of them got subdued.
And they're busy tackling the parents who are panicking and freaking out. Can you believe this? They're handcuffing parents, and they won't go after the shooter. And periodically, he was firing more shots. He might have, when he fired the shots, he might have killed more kids. We don't know. What the hell?
So about an hour or so ago, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who is up for re-election. Good old Beto O'Rourke is his opponent. who made his presence known at a press conference by Abbott the other day. I guess that's the press conference Abbott's talking about, because it was two days ago.
Yeah.
Where he came out and he was given information on the timeline. Not the information we heard today. Here is Abbott pretty worked up. Cut eight.
Short answer.
Here we go.
Yes, I was misled. I am livid about what happened. I was on this very stage 2 days ago, and I was telling the public information that had been told to me in a room just a few yards behind where we're located right now. I wrote down hand notes in detail about what everybody in that room told me in sequential order about what happened. And when I came out here on this stage and told the public what happened, it was a recitation of what people in that room told me, whether it be law enforcement officials or non-law enforcement officials, whatever the case may be. And as everybody has learned, the information that I was given turned out in part to be inaccurate. And I'm absolutely livid about that. And here's my expectation. My expectation is that the law enforcement leaders that are leading the investigations, which includes the Texas Rangers and the FBI, they get to the bottom of every fact with absolute certainty.
And there you go. So, as you said before, from what I understand, too, this school district had artificial intelligence to try to detect social media threats, that they had probably done drills. It's hard to understand that with this active shooter situation, you suddenly declared it non-active. We don't hear anything. All right. He's just a barricaded subject. We'll wait until we have a good plan to get him.
He's the only guy that's not coming out to speak. He's the only guy that's not answering reporters' questions.
Because the commander?
The commander, yeah. What's his name again?
The commander of the school district police.
Right. They had somebody else, and they were asking the other official, well, why did he do this? Why did he do that? And he goes, well, you know, you're free to contact him and ask him. Well, why don't you present him? Why isn't he being forced?
I don't think he wants to speak.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't want to speak, but he owes it to the families who lost their children, 19 families, not to mention the two teachers. He has no choice here.
The Uvalde Consolidated Independent School District chief is Pete Arredondo.
That's his name, Pete Arredondo.
He was in charge and mistakenly thought there were no other kids alive in the room once the shooter had barricaded himself inside. There's a picture of him in the Daily Mail. He's probably not going to keep that job.
At what point, when you make those kind of stupid decisions, is it criminal? He may have been responsible for a number of the deaths because those kids could have been saved, or maybe they were shot after he made the decision not to go in there.
Yeah, eventually there'll be a full accounting as to how many children were in that classroom when Ramos got in there, how many lived, and, you know, maybe with the timeline, how many could have been saved.
By the way, whatever he thought didn't matter anyway. There's a kid calling 911 saying, I'm in here, I'm alive.
I know, help me.
Help me. I mean, how do you ignore that?
On the other end of things, here's the mother of Salvador Ramos, Andrea Martinez, speaking to a CNN affiliate, Televisa. Oh, you're going to like this one. Here we go.
I have no words. I have no words to say. I don't know what he was thinking. He had his reasons for doing what he did, and please don't judge him. I only want the innocent children who died to forgive me.
What do you tell their families?
Forgive me. Forgive my son. I know he had his reasons.
What reasons could he have had?
What reasons?
Is she an idiot?
To get closer to those children, instead of paying attention to the other bad things, I have no words. I don't know.
Oh, not sure what that means.
Her brain is addled by drugs. She can't think. She can't even talk. That makes no sense.
Addiction trouble. All right, we got more coming up.
Wow. John and Ken Show, Deborah Mark has the news, KFI AM 640. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.